Let's begin now.
The song that never gets old. Welcome to After Hours, Wednesday night, hump day. I don't know why I paused so hard right there, but anyways, you get it. Wednesday night, After Hours, opening day eve. Man, I love opening day. Dusty Likens with you. Blake Schneider's with you. There's no S on the end.
There is.
Oh, there is an S. I second guess myself every time. How are you, sir?
Oh, fantastic, Dustman. Okay. How are we doing today?
I'm great.
You know what? I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Carrington just came in here and absolutely made my day.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about, hey, you get to go out to the park tomorrow. You get to see opening day. It's going to be beautiful 65-degree weather.
67.
67. Correct me. But I was like, man. And you were talking about getting the Bobby Baseball bobblehead.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I'm so jealous. I wanted to go to opening day. Couldn't get off work. We're going Saturday. Okay. And then Carrington, being the Santa Claus that he is, came in here in March 27th and gave me tomorrow's opening day bobblehead.
You love to see it.
I'm so happy right now.
It's not who you know. It's what you know.
That's the perks of working in radio, baby.
I think it's the opposite. It's not what you know. It's who you know.
That is what it is.
Okay. This guy?
Liner to the gap in left center. That is trouble, and it is gone. Home run for Bobby Witt Jr., his fourth of the spring. And just like that, it's 2-0 Kansas City.
It looked like a hanging curveball.
It was a hanging curveball, and he crushed it. You love to see it. You just, you know, I don't know what it is. And I don't want to have any negativity. Tomorrow, when it comes to sports days, tomorrow's day is a top three sports day for me. Now, I don't know what it is for you. And I have many, many reasons why it's a top sports day for me. As a kid, my dad and I had season tickets. Went to opening day probably six consecutive years. Tomorrow, since COVID, so that'll be what? Four straight years, 21, 22, 23, 24. Four consecutive as we build more for opening day. Unfortunately, there was a global pandemic that ruined the streak. But we're going to our fourth opening day of the season in a row. And I'm extremely excited about it. I don't know why people seem to not be, maybe I'm not speaking for everybody, but there's a lot of people that are like, yeah, opening day, whatever. It's one of the best sports days of the year. Not only that, this is the first time in a while where it's actually going to be a very pleasant day outside. It's going to be 16 degrees warmer than it was today, which seems like a lot. It's all the cliches of what opening day is. Crack of bat, smell of the stadium, conversations with people. Whose throwback jersey are you going to see? What kind of crowd are you going to be with? Who's going to be out there? I know I'll be out there. There'll be a bunch of 6'10 guys out there. And honestly, it's just one of those days that I genuinely love every year that this happens. And honestly, I hate to be that guy, but kiss my ass if you don't like opening day. Because whether the Royals are good or bad, opening day is always something that is one of those, feels good, right? It's, if baseball's back, that means the spring is here. That means the summer's right around the corner. And that means that you now have another local sports team to kind of follow. And I understand. I understand. The last couple of seasons, the last 5 to 6, have not been very good. They've been simply terrible. But this is a year where everything changed. It's going to be a great day tomorrow. It's going to be beautiful. I'm going to be there at 11 o'clock. I'm going to meet up with Cody and Gold, rip some baseball sports takes in the parking lot at Gate D. After that, I have nothing to do until the game starts. Maybe I'll wander around the stadium. Maybe I'll try to see where Quick Trip is within this stadium. But again, not only do you have opening day tomorrow, the beginning of baseball with a new team, with a different looked team, with a revamped team, you got Big Red throwing out the first pitch. Big Andy. Is Mahomes in the house? Does Mahomes go to the game tomorrow?
Yes, I believe so. You have to.
Okay. I don't know if he has to.
I mean, I think from the position that he's in,
yeah,
you know, being partial owner of the team, being having been given all the love to them,
yeah,
you know, Kansas City Chiefs, Royals, they always give love back to back and forth. He's going to want to see Andy throw the first pitch. You know? He might not go to a single game the rest of the year, but opening day, I think you show face.
From the 417, opening day is a family tradition for us. Tailgate in Lot J, left field. We got balloons flying, two kegs of Boulevard swing by. Follow me on Twitter, DM me. I will make sure that the crown jewel makes an appearance to your tailgate. I'll go tailgate hopping. Now, I got to be pretty good. I got to be a good boy there tomorrow. I got 2 hours tomorrow night after Vern. Vern will be on the show tonight at 6:30 because you understand that tomorrow is opening day and I will not be able to sleep tonight. I will have to have some sleeping aid tonight. I'll have to have six tall boys of Miller High Life to put my mind at ease. I love opening day. I don't know if I've said this enough. I absolutely love opening day. Andy Reid throws out the first pitch. You ready to make some prop bets already? You ready to be a degenerate tonight?
Already.
6:06. You ready for this? Does he hum in a strike? Does he bounce it? Does he miss it? What's your odds?
All right.
You think if you had to take 1 to 3, I don't expect you to put like +224. But do you think he hums it in there? He's an athlete. He's a lot bigger than people think. Like he's 6'4".
Punt, pass, and kick champion.
Right. I think he's like 6'4", 6'3". Right. Got some strength behind the arm. He's a showman.
I don't think he bounces it at all. Is it going to be a solid strike? Might be off the plate a little bit, but it's not hitting the ground. That's for dang sure.
He's not going to bounce it.
No bounce.
He bounces
probably
off also the table. Won't throw from the rubber. That's
no,
another problem.
He probably throw in front.
Throws from the front of the mound. Yeah. He doesn't need to throw from the rubber.
No. Nothing left to prove there, Andy. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he tries to really zip it in there. Give him a solid 42-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, what do you think he's topping out at fast-wise?
We talked about this the other day off air.
You think he's humming it in at like 44, 45?
I think Andy... You know, he moves. He's an easy mover, though. He doesn't do anything too quickly, you know? So maybe he's not zooming in the heat. I bet he's got great drop on it, though.
Right.
He's got some rotation on that thing.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll do the out of left field question. Of course, it is based around opening day, and it's food related, so you'll love it. Trust me. The other thing that's great about tomorrow is you will get to see where this team has invested within itself. You will have the superstar, Blake. I guarantee you when they introduce his name in front of the entire crowd, it will be a pop like Austin, The Rock, HBK, Bret the Hitman Hart, Hogan got when they came out with their intro music. Because he's going to be the second Royal introduced. Michael Garcia, I feel bad. Vinny Pasquantino's hitting third in the lineup. He'll be the third one introduced. But when they say your shortstop, number 7, Bobby Witt Jr., the place will lose its mind because they've never had somebody like that that's been that young, that good, perennial MVP candidate, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and he will get an absolute roaring ovation. I've been at every opening day that he's been a part of this team. This one will be the biggest one yet, and I was there for his rookie campaign, and it was big then.
Will they announce
that game, though.
His official name, or will they call him Bobby Baseball?
I don't know. I hope. I just hope
that would be awesome.
I just hope they play the song. And I know I'm starting to get a lot of people that hate me. But, man, I'll tell you what, man. You can't beat this banger.
He's the fastest in the league. He steals the base. Hitting home runs all over the place. It's Bobby Witt Jr.
Turn me up, baby.
Every Kansas City
I want the city to feel opening day like I feel it in my plums.
When he's sliding to home base.
Tomorrow.
Should be.
Let's go, Bobby.
He's got a bobblehead.
Home runs all day.
Damn. I love that song.
Banger, dude.
Just love that song. I mean, you just, if you're just in a bad mood and you hear that song, you just absolutely, you lose your bad mood or you get into another one. I don't know.
I remember when I first saw that as a commercial, mm-hmm. I had to rewind it. I rewound it three different times. I brought my mom in. I was like, Mom, look at this. Look at this commercial. This is great marketing.
Probably took her back to when she was a child. Then you get this one.
The tying run is in third. The winning run is in second. And the 3-2 pitch.
Opportunity knocks only once in a while, and you gotta be ready for it. Spring is here and the season's now. Nobody can ignore it. It's the right time.
Opening day.
It's the right place.
Kauffman Stadium.
To smack that ball.
30 home runs.
And see that face.
Bobby baseball bubblehead. Bobby baseball bubblehead.
Face stealing action.
Bobby baseball bubblehead. Bobby baseball bubblehead.
Bobby baseball.
Swing and a drive to deep left field. Back goes Castro. It is gone.
Bobby baseball bubblehead. Bobby baseball bubblehead.
Opening day.
I don't know. If you don't like those jingles, I don't know what to tell you, man. That's all I got to say. Wow, Dusty, you pumped everyone up before the Chiefs playoff games on your show, and now baseball, LFG. I'm telling you, man, you can't beat opening day. Big Red's throwing out the first strike. Cole Reagans is on the hill. He's your new ace. Left-handed DeGrom, future Cy Young winner. They said it, not me. That's just a fact. Bobby Wood Jr., perennial all-star, going to be an MVP, top three finisher this year. Not only that, a new team, and I hate to be this guy, but if you really want the stadium to stay, you better go watch it because it's not going to be there much longer. All that plus more. Hey, one Chiefs topic tonight, just one. It's coming up next here on After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
If you don't think I get ready for baseball, somebody thought it was cool, I think it was Nathan, to save this drop.
Oh, one more time.
Yeah, that happened.
One more time.
That's Bobby Witt Jr. hitting a home run.
That'll get you excited, baby. One more time.
I'll tell you what, man. Josh Verner at 6:30, he has no idea. He probably does. He's smart. He's a great guy. Yeah, can't wait. The whole 610 crew will be there as we will be rooting on the Royals opening day. I've already got a parlay. There was, at least for me, on DraftKings, a $10 free bonus bet. If you want to tag along on Bobby Baseball Dusty Radiohead Parlay, I just made that up. The Bobby Bobblehead Dusty Talking Head Parlay. Cole Reagan, 6+ strikeouts. Bobby Witt Jr., 1+ stolen base. Kansas City Royals, +1.5. That's a 3-pick parlay, +475. Could win you $47.50. $10 bonus bet. Somebody said, grade A Ashley Schaefer, reference from the Plums, Dust. Isn't that how you say his last name? Shafter? From the
Eastbound and Down.
Yeah. What a show. I might watch that tonight, too. I do have some juice tonight with the NBA because I'm just a degenerate. It's a big one tonight at 9 o'clock after the show's over. We get Denver and Phoenix. For those of you that don't follow the NBA, there is a Joker parlay, 28.5 points, 8.5 assists, 12.5 rebounds. Big game. Big guys show up. I'm riding that one to give you maybe a little bit more money. And then I can go to my honey well tomorrow, my honey hole, Winstead's on Row. And make that legal Kansas bet before I've got to be at the K. Again, I'll be on with Cody and Gold at 11 as they'll be out there at Gate D tomorrow. We'll talk a little baseball, and then Vern will join them. Vern will join me at 6:30. But I want to have a little conversation because I feel like I try to be a man of the people. And I know there's a lot of you out there that are like, oh, gosh, baseball season. Now we got to wait all this time for football season. And I thought an interesting conversation arose last night, and a lot of people kind of, I don't know if they were against it or they didn't care for it or they just scoffed at it because it's, we need a receiver and a tackle first. But why would anyone be opposed to bringing in a guy like J.K. Dobbins to the Kansas City Chiefs? Right? Jerick McKinnon, we don't believe will be back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think he's, at least in my opinion, ran his last football for the Kansas City Chiefs. Great way to go out. Two Super Bowls, even though you lost your job to a rookie, and then the rookie became Isaiah Pacheco. It is what it is. Sometimes you just got a game's got to respect game. But doesn't the J.K. Dobbins thing kind of seem like a Brett Veach sort of deal? Right? It didn't really work out so well for the Ravens. Yes, there were injuries, just like Clyde had injuries. I get that there's the comparison there. But I think if you put the guys together, I would say that J.K. Dobbins probably gets a lead. And what if it does work out? Right? We saw running backs get money this offseason. There's no lie about it. Running backs are still somehow getting paid in a way that they are respected, which was something we thought we'd never say again. And this offseason, a lot of running backs got a lot of contracts and they went to different teams. J.K. Dobbins is no longer going to be a problem or going to be a part on the Ravens, right? They got Derrick Henry. That's going to be their guy. And he has cleared physicals, has been able to now go and clear to go, you know, work out with teams, talk to other teams. And it seems like, at least in my mind, from a March 27th approach, a good time, maybe, to kind of see if there could be a little thunder lightning when it comes to Pacheco and a J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins, very good in the passing game, very good downfield, knows the game of football a little bit better than some other running backs in the league that were, you know, in that era. I mean, you have guys like Zeke Elliott, don't want that guy. You've got a guy like J.K. Dobbins who I think would fit in this team. He would fit in this mold. He would know that, hey, I'm here to help out. I'd like to win a Super Bowl and then go get my bag. Seems like a perfect situation when it comes to J.K. Dobbins and Kansas City Chiefs.
So when you say, I'll play devil's advocate here. Dusty, yeah. When you say he's great in the pass game, do you mean he's great at catching balls or do you just mean he's a good pass blocker?
I think he's good at catching. I think he's good at the real work, going around and catching passes from the quarterback. I think he's got that sort of attribute, at least in my mind, where he's proven that in that offense with the Baltimore Ravens. And again, I get it. You know, a lot of injuries.
Maybe in 2020.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, again, 2020, he had a good year. Played 15 games, only started one, had 134 attempts, and had 805 yards. Mm-hmm. The very next season, he had 8 games, starting all of them, had 92 attempts, 520 yards, right? And then last year got hurt on the very first game of the year, blew out the Achilles tendon, just like he did in the year before, right? Or maybe it was a knee injury on the practice field in that one season. But, again, like, missed the 2021 season. Played the 2022, got hurt. Played 2023, got hurt in the first game. Again, has nothing of sort of going to cost you a ton of money. Screams 1 year, prove it. Uh-huh. Screams a guy that is young, going to be 25, 26 this year. Still in his youth in the NFL. Does go to a team that can win where he wants to win and then can go get what is the bag for the rest of his career.
I think the only pushback you're going to get again, not from me, just speaking in general, sure. Generalities.
Yeah.
Is probably the fact that people are going to be like, well, he hasn't been healthy 3 straight seasons.
Sure.
That's the biggest knock on J.K. Dobbins. But obviously, when he puts a full season together with 15 games in 2020, he clearly shows out.
Right.
I mean, like 105 yards, 9 touchdowns. I believe he had 118 on the ground, through the air in pass catching. I could see it, and it doesn't cost you hardly anything.
Because in his first year as a rookie, he had the 18 receptions for 120 yards and an average 5 yards a target. That's one of those things where I think if you have that sort of play where you can have Isaiah Pacheco run through the tackles, be the angry runner that he is, and then you can send out, you know, a J.K. Dobbins on a flare route or on a little wheel route, that makes that a little bit better. I think it's an upgrade from a Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
100%.
Just because he's had a better full season in one time. But again, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire and that system or that story with the Chiefs is done. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire seems like a guy who's done his job here, time to move on, new face, a new place, whereas J.K. Dobbins screams like the Brett Veach sort of thing. Hey, this guy's a former high draft pick. This guy's got an immense amount of talent. This guy can catch the ball. He can run the ball. He can fit in this team. He wants to prove it. He wants to be a part of the team that is already. Doesn't have to overstep anybody's boundaries and can be an addition to this team in the running back field with an Isaiah Pacheco. Again, that's just me because I think this is sort of one of those things that kind of screams a Brett Veach sort of play. That's just where I look at it, that's how I see things being, and that's where I could see a J.K. Dobbins guy fitting with a Kansas City Royals or Kansas City Chiefs sort of roster in this whole situation. Or, hey, we've seen Brett Veach do it before. He drafts replacements 2 years in advance, right? Leo Chenal was drafted. What happened to Willie Gay 2 years later? Gown. Trent McDuffie was drafted 2 years ago. What happened to L'Jarius Sneed?
Gown.
Charvarius Ward got drafted 2 years later. L'Jarius Sneed got drafted. Charvarius Ward saw the football go into another team's hands. That team was the Kansas City Chiefs, who he left to go play for another team and watch a walk-off touchdown in overtime. Coming up on the other side, our guy, the sexiest voice in Kansas City and one of the sexiest radio hosts in Kansas City, Josh Vernier, Royals insider. He'll join the show next here on After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
This song always reminds me of Can't Hardly Wait. I can't hardly wait until opening day, and I can't feel my legs. Welcome to After Hours, 6:30, Wednesday night, opening day eve. Couldn't figure out anybody better to bring on the show than my dear friend and your guys' voice for the spring and summer, Mr. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Vern, what do, baby? How's it going, daddy?
Dust, man. What's happening, buddy? How you doing? Can't feel your legs. I love it.
I woke up this morning, and I looked at the calendar, and I'm one of those geeks that I plan everything out, write it on my calendar, and it just says opening day with stars by it. And I just, when I see that, man, it's like I have to be the kid that's getting up ready for the holidays. It's like, hey, you still got 3 days. Amp it down. You got to get there first. Let's not jump the gun. And by God, here we go. We had winter yesterday. We got a little bit more warmer today. And then we're going to get 67 and sun tomorrow for the first time in a long time on opening day. How's that make you feel?
Well, Dusty, think about really the last decade of opening days. Last year, you knew they were going to stink. 2022, you knew that they were going to stink. Same in 2021, 2020. Well, 2021 was also, no one was in the building. Uh-huh. 2020, it was the pandemic and absolutely nobody was in the building. 2019, you knew that they were going to stink. It was just Ned's farewell tour. 2018, we were excited for them to stink because we accepted that that's when it was going to begin, because that's when Haas and Kane left. 2017 was a very somber opening day with the wake of Yordano Ventura's passing. So weather along with expectations and true superstars on the field and on the mound, this is without question the most anticipated, the most exciting opening day since 2016, which shockingly is now 8 years ago. So it's nearly a decade since someone like you, someone like me, Royals fans listening, have been able to feel this way 24 hours before the opener.
No doubt about it. The other thing, too, I brought up is Bobby Witt Jr. I was there, obviously, debut. I believe it snowed.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. And, last year it was good, but, this is this kid.
They got shut out.
Yeah, exactly.
They got carved up.
And I wore jeans that I probably shouldn't have worn. They were tapered. You gave me a hard time about it. And
are you making a statement tomorrow?
Oh, you better believe it.
You're always making a statement.
You better get ready for these pants tomorrow. All I can say is there's slight.
As long as there's pants.
It's a slight capri.
Okay.
But they're all tight. Right. They're tight. And I got to fit the theme, man. These new pants in baseball, I got to bring out my pants too. And but I brought this up as a comparison. I think number 7 is going to get an insane pop tomorrow, because not only is Big Red going to throw out the first pitch and get people in their seats, not only do the gates open up at 9 a.m. on a Thursday and everybody else is going to say the hell with it, it's Holy Week, I'm taking the rest of the week off gearing up for Easter, I'm going to go to the game, it's going to be nice outside, everyone's going to be loose, and I think this is going to be a pop like Steve Austin, The Rock, those guys got when their music hit, and when they announced number 7 at shortstop, Bobby Witt Jr. coming out of the dugout, I think we're going to hear a roar that we haven't heard in a very long time.
Yeah, I know that the crowd will thank him for signing that contract and making a commitment to Kansas City, giving his age 20 seasons to this franchise, something that we hoped for at the end of last season. But I think even the most optimistic Royals fan would say it was a 55-45, basically a coin flip that extension got done. So, yes, there will be some recognition of that commitment, but I still think it's going to be overshadowed. I don't want to say pale in comparison, because it will be quite the pop. But if spring training is any indicator, Salvi still reigns supreme. He's still everyone's favorites, from your grandfather and grandmother to your baby niece and nephew. They all love Salvi. Some are still learning about Bobby because, as I just mentioned, this team has stunk for a very long time. So people have a passing knowledge of Bobby Witt Jr., but they remember everything that is Salvador Perez. Yes, there will be a big pop, but I'm still expecting Salvi's to be noticeably larger.
When it comes to this game tomorrow, before we get into the game and other factors that are involved with the rotation, the lineup, I heard a really interesting stat the other week, or I guess it was last week. The Royals came on at 8 o'clock, shortened show for me, so on the way home, why not get the juices flowing and listen to the broadcast team? And I thought it was an interesting stat that this is the first spring training, which is wild to me to think, a first complete full spring training for Bobby Witt Jr., and it looks like the kid is ready to just tee off.
Not only that, but when he stands on that first baseline, there's only going to be three other active players that have more service time with the Royals than Bobby. It's Salvi, it's Singer, and it's Kyle Isbell. That's it. Bobby is now, as far as the Royals are concerned, the fourth longest tenured Royal. And honestly, with the amount of games that Kyle Isbell's missed, and you know, Brady's a starter that goes once every fifth day, it's Salvi. That's it. Now, we understand in gravitas and impact and notoriety nationwide, yeah, of course, Bobby's number one right there with Salvador Perez, but it's shocking somewhat, or at least it was to me when he brought it up on the Hot Stove Show a few weeks ago, when he brought up the fact that, you know, I debuted 2 years ago and there's only three guys that were on that opening day roster that are going to be on this opening day roster. So look, this is, and James Shields told him as much, this is your team, take over the clubhouse. And if you've watched or heard any of his interviews, now he's never going to be the guy that's in the center of the clubhouse telling everyone to shut up and listen, but you can see Bobby, with the push of Eric Hosmer, starting to become a little bit more vocal, not only being a lead by example guy, but being willing to talk with the media a few nights in a row, giving them the quotes that they want, because, you know, last season it was dicey once Vinny went down. Vinny can only answer so much. He's got to figure out his own career. Same with Michael Massey, great behind the microphone, but they got to find their footing in the game. So Bobby's a star on the field, and boy, he's starting to really ease into the role of the star of the clubhouse as well.
Now let's switch gears. You got a hammer on the mound, a guy that knows how to shove, at least showed it last year, and now you've got, you know, MLB writers and everybody calling him everything from left-handed DeGrom, 2024 Cy Young winner. Speak some truth into these listeners tonight as we gear up on opening day eve of how much you can pretty much say that Cole Reagans is as advertised.
12 starts last season, and his final 2 months were as good of a stretch as we've seen in this town since James Shields. But again, it is only 12 starts. I was having a great conversation with Annie Rogers of MLB.com about this very subject of, you know, how do you describe Cole Reagans? Because I've seen quite a few pitchers have a really good 12-start stretch. Not a great one like Reagans had, or an extraordinary one like Reagans had, but we've seen Brady Singer have an outstanding 12-start stretch. Danny Duffy, Yordano Ventura, we've seen a lot of guys have extraordinary stretches. Now they didn't take home Pitcher of the Month like Reagans did last August. And, you know, I think I bring up Danny Duffy. I think that's a great example. For a while there was, is Danny Duffy an ace? And after, you know, 2016, it for as terrific as he was in 2016, it became obvious that he's not your game one guy. But you know, there's no shame in drafting and developing a guy that ends up settling as a number two or a number three. Is that a disappointment? If we get to the end of the season and it's clear that Cole Reagans is a number two or a number three on a championship team, I wouldn't view that as a disappointment, but I do get the sense that Royals fans are wondering, is he the lefty DeGrom? Is he the lefty Gerrit Cole? Anything less will be a disappointment, and I would caution Royals fans that, boy, if this guy turns into... James Shields wasn't DeGrom. James Shields wasn't Gerrit Cole, but James Shields was utterly perfect, outstanding for those 2013 teams. So Cole Reagans has everything to be the lefty DeGrom, the lefty Gerrit Cole. He's got five pitches. You're never going to see the guy too excited. Never going to see him bumming. He's win first. He's team first. He's everything you can ask for. And you know he has it upstairs. You know he has the heart for it as he overcomes back-to-back Tommy John surgeries and basically misses three seasons. He has everything you could ask for in a number one. He just needs to go and do it this year and then do it again, because that's what Gerrit Cole, that's what Justin Verlander, that's what true number ones do. Even a Jacob DeGrom hasn't really done that. This isn't a guy that you can rely on. Jacob DeGrom has the stuff to be a number one, but you can't build a team around him because he's so very unreliable. 2024 is going to show you what Cole Reagans is. Worst case scenario, he's a number three on a championship team. Best case scenario, he's the best pitcher you've had since Greinke in 09.
Vern, you know I'm a music guy, so on Apple Music they have a thing called the deep cuts, which is, you know, obviously the songs that aren't everybody that knows and the things that maybe you find that are a little bit more surprising than you think. I think the two deep cuts when it comes to the pitching rotation and the batting lineup, which I think are both set, we've seen what those are probably going to be, and you can hear all of that tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock with Vern's On Deck show here on 610 Sports Radio as we talk to the Royals insider here at 610 Sports Radio currently. For me, Vern, it's put up or shut up time for MJ Melendez. And this song always reminds me of Can't Hardly Wait. I can't hardly wait until opening day and I can't feel my legs. Welcome to After Hours, 6:30, Wednesday night, opening day eve. Couldn't figure it out. Anybody better bring on the show than my dear friend and your guys' voice for the spring and summer, Mr. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Vern, what do, baby? How's it going, Daddy?
Dust man, what's happening, buddy? How you doing? Can't feel your legs. I love it.
I woke up this morning, and I looked at the calendar, and I'm one of those geeks that I plan everything out, write it on my calendar, and it just says opening day with stars by it. And I just, when I see that, man, it's like I have to be the kid that's getting up ready for the holidays. It's like, hey, you still got 3 days. Amp it down. You got to get there first. Let's not jump the gun. And by God, here we go. We had winter yesterday. We got a little bit more warmer today. And then we're going to get 67 and sun tomorrow for the first time in a long time on opening day. How's that make you feel?
Well, Dusty, think about really the last decade of opening days. Last year, you knew they were going to stink. 2022, you knew that they were going to stink. Same in 2021, 2020. Well, you know, 2021 was also, no one was in the building. Uh-huh. 2020, it was the pandemic and absolutely nobody was in the building. 2019, you knew that they were going to stink. It was just Ned's farewell tour. 2018, we were excited for them to stink because we accepted that that's when it was going to begin, because that's when Haas and Kane left. 2017 was a very somber opening day with the wake of Yordano Ventura's passing. So weather along with expectations and true superstars on the field and on the mound, this is without question the most anticipated, the most exciting opening day since 2016, which shockingly is now 8 years ago. So it's nearly a decade since someone like you, someone like me, Royals fans listening, have been able to feel this way 24 hours before the opener.
No doubt about it. The other thing, too, I brought up is Bobby Witt Jr. I was there, obviously, debut. I believe it snowed.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. And, you know, last year it was good, but, you know, this is this kid.
They got shut out.
Yeah, exactly.
They got carved up.
And I wore jeans that I probably shouldn't have worn. They were tapered. You gave me a hard time about it. And
are you making a statement tomorrow?
Oh, you better believe it.
You're always making a statement.
You better get ready for these pants tomorrow. All I can say is there's a slight.
As long as there's pants.
It's a slight capri.
Okay.
But they're tight. They're tight. And I gotta fit the theme, man. These new pants in baseball, I gotta bring out my pants too. And no, but I brought this up as a comparison. I think number 7 is gonna get an insane pop tomorrow, because not only is Big Red gonna throw out the first pitch and get people in their seats, not only do the gates open up at 9 a.m. on a Thursday, and everybody else is gonna say the hell with it, it's Holy Week, I'm taking the rest of the week off, gearing up for Easter. I'm gonna go to the game. It's gonna be nice outside. Everyone's gonna be loose, and I think this is gonna be a pop like Steve Austin, The Rock, those guys got when their music hit, and when they announced number 7 at shortstop, Bobby Witt Jr. coming out of the dugout. I think we're gonna hear a roar that we haven't heard in a very long time.
Yeah, I know that the crowd will thank him for signing that contract and making a commitment to Kansas City, giving his age 20 seasons to this franchise, something that we hoped for at the end of last season. But I think even the most optimistic Royals fan would say it was a 55-45, basically a coin flip that extension got done. So, yes, there will be some recognition of that commitment, but I still think it's going to be overshadowed. I don't want to say pale in comparison, because it will be quite the pop. But if spring training is any indicator, Salvi still reigns supreme. He's still everyone's favorites, from your grandfather and grandmother to your baby niece and nephew. They all love Salvi. Some are still learning about Bobby because, as I just mentioned, this team has stunk for a very long time. So people have a passing knowledge of Bobby Witt Jr., but they remember everything that is Salvador Perez. Yes, there will be a big pop, but I'm still expecting Salvi's to be noticeably larger.
When it comes to this game tomorrow, before we get into the game and other factors that are involved with the rotation in the lineup, I heard a really interesting stat the other week, or I guess it was last week. The Royals came on at 8 o'clock, shortened show for me, so on the way home, why not get the juices flowing and listen to the broadcast team? And I thought it was an interesting stat that this is the first spring training, which is wild to me to think, a first complete full spring training for Bobby Witt Jr., and it looks like the kid is ready to just tee off.
Not only that, but when he stands on that first baseline, there's only going to be three other active players that have more service time with the Royals than Bobby. It's Salvi, it's Singer, and it's Kyle Isbell. That's it. Bobby is now, as far as the Royals are concerned, the fourth longest tenured Royal. And honestly, with the amount of games that Kyle Isbell's missed, and Brady's a starter that goes once every fifth day, it's Salvi. That's it. Now, we understand in gravitas and impact and notoriety nationwide, yeah, of course, Bobby's number one right there with Salvador Perez, but it's shocking somewhat, or at least it was to me when he brought it up on the Hot Stove Show a few weeks ago, when he brought up the fact that I debuted 2 years ago and there's only three guys that were on that opening day roster that are going to be on this opening day roster. So look, this is, and James Shields told him as much, this is your team. Take over the clubhouse. And if you've watched or heard any of his interviews, now he's never going to be the guy that's in the center of the clubhouse telling everyone to shut up and listen. But you can see Bobby, with the push of Eric Hosmer, starting to become a little bit more vocal, not only being a lead by example guy, but being willing to talk with the media a few nights in a row, giving them the quotes that they want, because, you know, last season it was dicey once Vinny went down. Vinny can only answer so much. He's got to figure out his own career. Same with Michael Massey, great behind the microphone, but they got to find their footing in the game. So Bobby's a star on the field, and boy, he's starting to really ease into the role of the star of the clubhouse as well.
Now let's switch gears. You got a hammer on the mound, a guy that knows how to shove, at least showed it last year, and now you've got, you know, MLB writers and everybody calling him everything from left-handed DeGrom, 2024 Cy Young winner. Speak some truth into these listeners tonight as we gear up on opening day eve of how much you can pretty much say that Cole Reagans is as advertised.
12 starts last season, and his final 2 months were as good of a stretch as we've seen in this town since James Shields. But again, it is only 12 starts. I was having a great conversation with Annie Rogers of MLB.com about this very subject of, you know, how do you describe Cole Reagans? Because I've seen quite a few pitchers have a really good 12-start stretch. Not a great one like Reagans had, or an extraordinary one like Reagans had, but we've seen Brady Singer have an outstanding 12-start stretch. Danny Duffy or Donald Ventura, we've seen a lot of guys have extraordinary stretches. Now they didn't take home Pitcher of the Month like Reagans did last August. And, you know, I think I bring up Danny Duffy. I think that's a great example. For a while there was, is Danny Duffy an ace? And after, you know, 2016, for as terrific as he was in 2016, it became obvious that he's not your game one guy, but you know, there's no shame in drafting and developing a guy that ends up settling as a number two or a number three. Is that a disappointment? If we get to the end of the season and it's clear that Cole Reagans is a number two or a number three on a championship team, I wouldn't view that as a disappointment, but I do get the sense that Royals fans are wondering, is he the lefty DeGrom? Is he the lefty Gerrit Cole? Anything less will be a disappointment, and I would caution Royals fans that, boy, if this guy turns into James Shields wasn't DeGrom, James Shields wasn't Gerrit Cole, but James Shields was utterly perfect, outstanding for those 2013 team. So Cole Reagans has everything to be the lefty DeGrom, the lefty Gerrit Cole. He's got 5 pitches. You're never going to see the guy too excited. Never going to see him bumming. He's win first. He's team first. He's everything you can ask for. And you know he has it upstairs. You know he has the heart for it as he overcomes back-to-back Tommy John surgeries and basically misses 3 seasons. He has everything you could ask for in a number one. He just needs to go and do it this year and then do it again, because that's what Gerrit Cole, that's what Justin Verlander, that's what true number ones do. Even a Jacob DeGrom hasn't really done that. This isn't a guy that you can rely on. Jacob DeGrom has the stuff to be a number one, but you can't build a team around him because he's so very unreliable. 2024 is going to show you what Cole Reagans is. Worst case scenario, he's a number three on a championship team. Best case scenario, he's the best pitcher you've had since Greinke in 09.
Vern, you know I'm a music guy, so on Apple Music they have a thing called the deep cuts, which is, you know, obviously the songs that aren't everybody that knows and the things that maybe you find that are a little bit more surprising than you think. I think the two deep cuts when it comes to the pitching rotation and the batting lineup, which I think are both set, we've seen what those are probably going to be, and you can hear all of that tomorrow starting at 2:00 with Vern's On Deck show here on 610 Sports Radio as we talk to the Royals insider here at 610 Sports Radio currently. For me, Vern, it's put up or shut up time for MJ Melendez And I want to see one of the two veterans be the guy you can lean on to keep you in games. Again, I'm not saying that Lugo and Waka have to go out there and win 16 games, 15 games, but I'd like to see those guys be the guys that are, hey, if you guys ever have any struggles or watch this, we've just lost three in a row. I'll shut a team down to three runs and let my offense do the work. Those are my deep cuts when it comes to this year's team. Melendez, got to show something this year. You're hitting in that fifth spot in the lineup. Got to have some sort of, you know, that power stroke, whatever you can find. And then one of those veteran guys I'd like to see be the lean on support throughout the season.
Right. And that's what Guthrie and Jason Vargas were to those World Series champion or pennant winning teams in 2014 and 2015. Yeah, I like the MJ Melendez choice. To me, he's one of the three biggest keys to the season. My X, Y, and Z, if these three guys can exceed expectations, if these three guys can meet or exceed expectations, I expect the Royals to be competing in September. And those three are Reagans, Singer, and MJ Melendez, which I think is reflective of an organization that's in a much better spot than it has been in years past when you're relying on, with all due respect, Chris Bubich and Daniel Lynch, and I'm asking Jackson Coar to have a big breakthrough. Guys that hadn't shown anything at the big league level to warrant that type of pressure. Reagans has, Singer has, Melendez has. That's reflective of a team that's closer to winning than they've been in the previous six, seven, eight seasons. Another deep cut, man, Adam Frazier has been breathing down the neck of Michael Massey and MJ Melendez for at-bats at second base or left field, respectively, since the beginning of camp. Massey, unfortunately, going down with a back injury, is going to open up playing time and likely a opening day starts for Adam Frazier. I love everything that this guy brings, not only on the field but inside the clubhouse. And then James MacArthur, I'm hoping he becomes the closer by the end of the season. Honestly, hoping that, you know, him and Will Davis, I'm hoping that's what we're calling him.
I hope we're calling that by the end of the year.
But Will Smith, I'm hoping that that's a lefty-righty platoon, depending on the big bats coming up in the ninth inning. So James MacArthur, Adam Frazier, but I got no qualms with the names you threw out.
I hope you all are taking notes, because Vern's first show starts tomorrow. You've heard him on the hot stove all offseason and spring training. Vern, you want to tease any sort of games or anything that's coming on this year? I don't know if we're doing the double play.
We're doing the double play. We're bringing that back. Rob Breton, the remaining or the reigning champion.
Oh, he gets first crack.
Yeah, he's going to kick it off tomorrow. We'll be giving away tickets on every single On Deck. Well, you have a chance to win tickets on the On Deck show. I'll have two to see the Royals and Orioles Friday night, about 2 weeks away. T-shirt giveaway, Adley Rutschman, Bobby Witt Jr. So we'll have your chance to win some tickets on every On Deck show as well. But yeah, tomorrow, 2 o'clock, live outside of Gate D at the K. I'll be following Cody and Gold. Looking forward to it.
Well, Vern, welcome home. I will step aside for the baseball season and let you take over the nights on the radio. I couldn't be happier to have somebody do it this time of year. So we get excited. We'll listen to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. You'll be on postgame, and I'll follow you shortly after, and we can talk about a different set of pants tomorrow.
I can't wait to see these pants.
You're going to see them. Josh Vern, Royals insider. That's my guy. Have a good one, Vern. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, buddy.
Take care. Some Chiefs news just came out. They got a rugby star coming to their team. We got to talk about it. It sounds amazing with the new kickoff rules. Louis Riz-Zamet. He's now a Chief, damn it. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Breaking news for the Kansas City Chiefs. I wanted to keep it all Royals tonight. We will continue to do that. But according to multiple sources, the Chiefs are expected to sign rugby star Louis Riz-Zamet, LRZ. Praise God I'll have this jersey. Per Jordan Schultz, the plan is for him to be an offensive weapon used in various roles, a fun addition to Andy Reid's offense. So, again, the Chiefs planning to sign a rugby star. should be interesting.
Well, apparently he had also met with three other teams, the Cleveland Browns, the New York Jets, and the Denver Broncos, and he was lucky enough to get picked up by the Chiefs. The guy, we were looking at his highlights in the, you know, it's hard to translate rugby over to football just off looks. I mean, obviously you got to put the pads on the guy and see what he does, but 6'3", a little under 200 pounds. He's got absolute ham hocks for legs.
Rugby star.
And he looks pretty dang fast. Got some moves out there. So, yeah, I'd be interested. Slap the old H-back. Yeah, or the actual H-back title on him and see what he can do.
I wish he could wear, like, number 99.
That'd be great.
Yeah, 6'3", 194.
Can't he wear number 99 now?
I don't know. I think so.
Since we can all do number changes.
There are two interesting things per this report, right? One is, this just goes to prove that the Kansas City Chiefs, if this works out, let's be real. I'm not saying this guy is going to be an offensive stud. But with all of the changes to kickoff rules, right? We saw the videos, the landing zone, the touchback zone, the XFLs, what it's basically going to be. Doesn't this just make you think even more how far ahead of the curve Brett Veach is? And like Andy Reid? Like, not only did they know the rules were probably going to be changing and set in motion as they got further and further into the offseason, their owners, their GMs, their coaches, they know more about it than we do. And by the time we hear about it, it's already long gone, right? Like, you remember the tweet that Andy Reid sent to Hollywood Brown. It was sent at like 2:51 p.m. and it was 6 o'clock when it was announced that he was going to be a Chief. Now, after rules have changed, and I'm sure Brett Veach gets bored and hears stories about guys that are thinking about coming over and sees a video of this, and Brett Veach's mind explodes and says, hey, hear me out. There's a chance that with these new kickoff rules, this guy could be some sort of weapon and we could start a trend. Not only that, where were the Chiefs pretty weak last year? Goal line or red zone, fourth down. Rugby star that, as Blake said, and I quote, ham hock for legs, fast, played the wing position. I'm not going to sit here and advocate that I know everything about rugby, but I know what a wing is. It's the same thing that you could picture what it is. Guy that sits on the outside, gets the pass under the arms, and just takes off. That's what he does. Now think about that. Third and one, fourth and one, and you got this Luis Ruiz Zamit on the outside. You think Mahomes, he can do a behind-the-back pass, a no-look pass? Could rugby pass that sucker over to Zamit? Imagine if you saw that, Daddy. Imagine you see a Chiefs game where they're trying to flex on somebody, and all of a sudden Mahomes fakes a pitch to the left to Pacheco, turns back around, and does a rugby toss to this kid. I'll lose my damn mind.
Well, and like you kind of pointed out already, and for those who don't know, the rugby players, with the new kickoff rule, with that zone and how close everybody is, and them getting a running start at that,
yeah.
It is almost identical to how rugby actually works. So you're used to maneuvering past a wall of guys in close distances, and you're not getting guys at 90 mile an hour head starts anymore.
Yeah,
it's perfect because they really did take rugby style, implement it into rules, which they had been practicing in other leagues. This makes 100% complete sense in my mind.
According to Alex Gold via Twitter X, his dad played American football in NFL Europe. He believes, yeah, they're going to make something out of this. I can tell you that much right now. The Chiefs, by the way, if you missed it, are signing Luis Ruiz Zamit, who could be a hybrid. Man, this is like, you know what this reminds me of? This is almost like Taysom Hill on steroids. Like, he's not going to throw it.
No.
But like, man, you could almost think because of rugby and how they play, like if Butker were to happen to something to happen to Harrison Butker, or have they, oh yeah, they have the punt god Ariza.
Yeah, they got Ariza.
If something happens to those guys, I bet this guy could kick it.
100%.
I saw a video the other day of him kicking one in the uprights, and it literally like went like a hard, it looked like a draw on a golf swing. Went way right, and it was like 60 yards.
Well, in rugby, you're used to punting and running. That's why right. It's called a rugby punt in the NFL, but I already watched his highlights, and he can boot it.
Yeah.
And that way Mahomes, well, apparently I was listening to Justin Reed get an interview the other day, and he said Mahomes has a leg on him too, because right now he's the backup punter.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes is. So
yeah, I never want to see that.
Take a little pressure off Mahomes here and let this guy have a go at it.
The hell with the no-look pass. I want to see a rugby pass from Mahomes to this kid on the outside.
That'd be great. Just spin that thing to him.
Man. Now, again, Chiefs got to put a little meat on his bones. He's 194 and 6'3", but they could fatten him up. They introduce him to Kansas City Barbecue. 913-586-7610 in your life. Did you think the Chiefs would ever hire a rugby player? Hey, what? Maybe now they can do their own version of the tush push. Isn't that somewhat of a rugby move?
Yeah, the scrum.
Yeah.
A little different, but yeah, used to that.
Put him in the backfield on a 4th-and-1 tush push.
I'm down, man. And he's long, too.
Damn, 913-586-786. That's not the number. 913-586-7610. That is the number. The Chiefs are signing a rugby-style player / rugby player. Luis Rees-Zamet should be official soon. That report comes from Jordan Schultz. Coming back on the other side. First time in a while this team's had a one on both sides. It's Reagan's. It's Witt. It reminds you of two guys that played back in the 80s. I'm not kidding, damn it. That's the truth. It's Blake. I'm Dusty. This is After Hours with 610 Sports Radio.